The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Welcome back to another award-winning Kiefer and Curry show here on the Tony Curry Radio Network. Of course, you can hear the show at least 5 days a week here on TKR. Get that TKR app through Android or Apple. Those three little letters are going to get you classic rock to the bone 24 hours a day. Kip, I absolutely love it. And of course, all these unique programmings like Mission Minded that goes to the Heart of Alabama Food Bank. We have the Damon Johnson show. Of course, he's the lead guitarist for Lynyrd Skynyrd. We have Blues Almighty. We have Live Wire Wednesday. We have Students of the Game. We have Need to Know That You Do. We have this show right here. We have Dark Side of the Pooch, show after show after show. And so we like to put ourselves out there in all kinds of different things. We don't necessarily stick with one particular genre of politics and or sports. We do it all, right? And we should. You know, at our age, we're pretty smart guys here, right? We're pretty well leveled and steeped in everything we speak about. Would you not agree?
Oh, absolutely. The smartest guys in the room.
Well, there you go. So, you know, we got the Super Bowl coming up. We got all kind of easy things we could jump into. And I'm sitting there thinking about what we wanted to talk about on the show today. And you and I have jumped into this new endeavor now on television that's running on ABC 3340. You and I, and really it was you, that ponied up and made the investment. And you called me up and said, listen, I want to do this show with you, and we want to talk about college football. Well, college football is super, super easy. I mean, just be honest with you. Everyone's got to take everyone. You know, you have to have the proxy, and you have to have the know with all to be able to get in front of a microphone and actually do a show. So I'm not saying that part is easy. But to have an opinion about college football or professional football is generally pretty easy. Some people can't really convey that on the radio airwaves like we can. And so I'm thinking to myself, this is going to be a great idea. And then you and I decided that we wanted to continue to do the show because despite the fact that you and I have both been in this market for 35, 40 plus years, you and I have really never worked together. Which is pretty amazing. I mean, I've seen you around. I've heard you. I know you've heard me. And maybe it's because you were off doing your thing and I was off doing my thing. And we never had a collaboration. And I'm thinking to myself, with all the special events that we've done, you know, at the Birmingham Racecourse and maybe a lot of charity things, that maybe we would have, you know, bumped into each other. Maybe our paths would have crossed, and they just never have. And so I'm a God guy. And so I know God places people in my life. So all of a sudden, here comes this Kip Kiefer that I knew very, very well. And so I've gotten to know you a little bit. And so we decided we wanted to have, and I promise you, I've got a reason why I'm doing this. for lack of trying to get 30 minutes of content, I promise you, I have an idea here and I will let you talk. So
that's fun. I'm enjoying the prelude.
So you and I are sitting around going, okay, we're in our 50s. We certainly know a lot about sports. We know a lot about music. And here we go into this wide blue yonder of this show now that we're going to be talking 30 minutes a week about whatever we want to talk about. And one of the reasons that I wanted to start this Kiefer and Curry show on Tony Curry Radio was I wanted to find out if you and I had a chemistry where we could pull something off. And undoubtedly, it's been a home run. It's been a home run. I mean, I will tell you, there's some people that I've worked with and I'm like, this ain't flying. We're not seeing eye to eye on things. We can debate things. It's not working. It's not good. It's uncomfortable. It's awkward. I don't feel that with you. And so I know whatever we talk about is going to be good. So I'm trying to think to myself this morning, I'm like, what are we going to talk about? And you and I have had this discussion over the last couple of weeks. Okay, what are we going to talk about? Mm-hmm. We're calling it the starting lineup. It's not going to change. And the starting lineup could have to do with anything. But what are we going to talk? What the hell are we going to talk about on the Kiefer and Curry show? And I'm like, well, we already do it on the radio station. We're already doing it. And it's already doing really well on Tony Curry Radio. We get thousands of listeners every single week. We're just moving it over to a visual component of television. And so my head starts spinning. I'm thinking, okay, you know, we have the visual. Do we need to do something more visual? Do we need to do a Wayne's World? Will we have a top 10? Do we need to have signs? and then I'm thinking guests. And I mean, my head was just exploding. exploding with all these cool ideas. And then I was going to Country Boy Eddie Days, and I'm thinking, Captain Kangaroo, and I'm thinking of my local community programming in the mornings that used to be so flipping good, and now you don't have that anymore. And we're local guys, and everyone knows who Kip Kiefer is, and everyone knows who Tony Curry is. I'm like, hell, how can this not work? How can this not be awesome television, right? And it will
be. Absolutely.
So I wanted to talk about what you want to talk about. In other words, what do you think people expect or want? Let's say want. What do you think people want to hear out of two guys like us on a morning television show? And by the way, we've already spoken to ABC 3340. They want us to do the show live, which is a rare thing. Television companies, television studios don't let people come in and do live television. You're not allowed to do live television. It's got to be recorded. The fact they've even asked us to do live television is amazing. So I know that's a huge compliment. And they've already said, why don't we go 3, 4, 5 days a week with this? Why are we only doing one day a week? And you and I are like, sure. You know, that's something we could certainly talk about. So we know we have something special here, but we do have to start sitting down and coming up with some different ideas. And so the first thing I think of it, let me shut up. Let me shut up because my mouth's moving like a duck's ass here. And you're probably going, well, I think the show's done already. I think we just did a show.
No.
What do you think people want in this world we live in right now? What do you think people want to hear from us?
I think people, basically if I'm a viewer and I'm flipping around, if I can find a show that I'm going to pick up a nugget of information, even if it's just a single thing, there's so much information in this day and age. It's completely different than when we were children and growing up and being introduced to media. We've talked about on the show here before, all the different vehicles that were available back in those days. And it was just a minuscule compared to now, where I can sit down and just flip through my variety of conventional cable channels and then switch over to any number of different streaming services and Netflix and all of the different options. I've been kind of hooked this last couple of days on HBO Max, which I hadn't subscribed to before. That's got tons of great programming. There's so much there, but I think what has suffered in that transition, Tony, is what you just mentioned, and it's particularly true on radio, but even on television, you don't have a lot of programming that we grew up with, which was basically locally based and was basically geared toward giving you information about what's going on in your neck of the woods. We didn't really know anything about anything going on anywhere else. I tend to think, and there's a lot of, Birmingham has come a long way. There's a lot of great events coming up this summer. Very excited about the Rick Wood Field Classic, where Major League Baseball are bringing in the Cardinals and the Giants to play a regular season game in Birmingham's oldest stadium in the country. And events like that, I don't think people walking around really know a whole lot about it, and it's happening right here in our backyard. So I would answer your question by saying that it seems to me that if you can pick up some things that maybe you don't know about or want some more information and hear from guests that come on and can tell you about those things. Again, this kind of show can be driven. I want to keep it in the sports lane, mm-hmm. because that's where, the kind of the theme of the show. And certainly college football this year is going to be highly intriguing, yep. because the game is changing this year, taking shapes that it never has before. And there's still developments every single day right now in college football. Yesterday, a court in the Northeast ruled that the Dartmouth men's basketball team could be considered basically employees of the university, and they have the right to create their own union to negotiate their contract.
Yep.
I mean, you're getting these opinions, these legal opinions every day. The game is completely changing. The Big Ten and the SEC, and I predicted this 2 years ago, the model, Tony, is moving toward those becoming super conferences, just like the AFC and NFC and the NFL, these leagues with 20 or 24 teams who will play each other intermittently, but mostly the concentration will be on the teams in your own league until you get to a playoff format. And these teams with the means and the TV contracts are going to break away from the rest of college football and be the major league of professional college football, basically. But that's all evolving right now in the 1st of February. This is a year-round deal, so we never need to stray too far from that because the season's going to be fascinating. But in the meantime, I think the show could be multidimensional where, you know, our target audience, which are, you know, people that probably are just sports inclined, but also interested in a variety of other things. I think we need to gather up as diverse a guest list as possible.
Absolutely.
And predicate the show basically on who we have on that week.
Great idea.
Sticking with the basic theme of, you know, we're in the sports business, and you know, we would love to have active viewership of people that are interested in that. But in the meantime, find subjects that are compelling and interesting, maybe within the fringe of the sports world, but not necessarily that.
All right, my head is spinning here because I'll never get it all out in 30 minutes. So I got to shut you down just for a second. First of all, you're talking about special guest, and I just ran into a friend of mine, and I'm glad you brought this up. He had just an incredible conversation with Jackson Brown. And I mentioned, I mentioned you because I'm like, you know, he just went and saw him play. We were talking about
three times
shows and just how much you love him. And I think you're exactly right. And I'm not ashamed to point at other people and say, listen, I love what they're doing. And I think what they're trying to do, and I'm trying to emulate that. I'm in the NPR radio aspect of my life right now. Mm-hmm. I listen to a lot of sports radio. I've heard enough classic rock and roll to make my ears bleed. I'm obviously listening to my own platform, and I think it's the best. And music, I'll listen to XM Sirius Satellite. I'll listen to 70s and 80s, stuff like that. But occasionally I will tune over to NPR. National Public Radio comes out of BHM here in town. They do a great job. And I don't know what in the hell they're going to talk about from day to day. Today they're talking about magic mushrooms. Yesterday they were talking about the LGBTQ community in bars in seedy parts of New York. And a lot of it comes from their listeners where they have ideas. I think what we have done, and I think we've done a great job here on Kiefer and Curry. I think a lot of times when people sit down and they're like, okay, we have to come up with something that is going to be lucrative and interesting enough for people to want to stay and listen to. I think a lot of people always go too broad. I think their broad range they try to please everyone all the time, and you can't do it. They go, what's the hot topic right now? They want to do that. And when you get into a hot topic, two things happen. First of all, you must get there first. And second of all, you must have a hell of a great take. And a lot of people don't have that. You have to have angles. We're always talking about, okay, what's your angle on this? If you want to talk about the wall down in Mexico, or you want to talk about the election coming up in 2024, or you want to talk about, you know, whatever, what's your angle on? You have to have a different angle on it. And I think what a lot of people have done a really nice job at, and what we try to do here is, I think, you know, my dad always said, you know, find something you love to do and do it to the best of your ability and just kill it. He used to always go narrow and deep. You know, I always think it's funny because, you know, you can get on Facebook and you can create a Facebook group of retired, widowed, 67-year-old Basset Hound winners who love to bowl on Thursday afternoons. You can put that out there and you're going to have 50 or 60 people go, I love to bowl on Thursday afternoons. I'm a widow and I have a Basset Hound. And you're like, how the hell is that even possible? I mean, you can get as narrow and as specific as you want and find a group that wants to follow you. And they're like, great, what are we going to talk about? Well, I'll meet you at the bowling alley on Thursday with your Basset Hound. And we got ourselves something special here. So I do think it's important. I think you just nailed it. You just came up with something really interesting. If you come up with content that is interesting,
that's the key.
People will listen. It doesn't have to be good. It doesn't have to touch everyone. It doesn't have to have anything to do with what's going on in your life. But if it's interesting, people will give it a shot. They will listen. I mean, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 minutes into, and I think I shared this with you. And if you don't listen to it, you should. There's a show called Students of the Game that I do on Tony Curry Radio. And it's these three kids. They're 18 and 19 years old. They're interns. And I met one through Jay Barker's radio internship. And I said, you know, if you ever want a show, come to Tony Curry Radio, because I know they're young kids and I know they get out there and they hit the social media and I know they could bring a lot of listeners. And I was like, you bring me some listeners, we'll work out a deal so I don't have to charge you as much, because I know they're college kids, they're broke. And so they get on there, start talking. Well, I record the show like we're doing here for the YouTube channel. And sometimes I'll leave the studio. And so it was the last week of the week before, and I came back in the studio and I look up on my Zoom channel and they're still doing the show. Well, we're about 42, 43 minutes in, and normally our shows run about 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking to myself, oh, wow, they're really going long this week. And that's fine. They can't go over an hour because we have shows every hour at the top of the hour. So I let it go. Well, the show's not fluid at all. And one guy's laughing at one of the other guys and he starts teasing the other guy. And the other guy's like giving the other busted his balls and they're going back and forth. And I'm starting to laugh and I'm thinking to myself, wow, this is really funny radio. This is a great podcast. Well, unbeknownst to me, they had stopped doing their show about 10 minutes earlier. And did not stop. So they basically got done with their show, and that's our show on Students of the Game. And then one of the guys said, well, hey, you know, Nathan, what are you doing tonight? I don't know. I'm going to go out with my girlfriend, blah, blah. What are you going to do? I don't know. I was talking to my mom and dad. And they just started talking. And they started talking.
Still rolling.
And they were just ripping on each other and teasing each other. And it was funny as hell. I was laughing. I was like, dude, that is the kind of radio I want. It was hilarious. And that's what a lot of podcasts are. But it was interesting. And I found myself, I was like, this is better than the show they're actually doing to do a show on purpose for.
Yeah.
I was listening for 5 or 6 minutes and I was thinking to myself, wow, this is really, really good. I think you're spot on. I think there's all kinds of different ones. And we'd love your ideas. info@tonycurryradio.net, info@tonycurryradio.net. Feel free. Or you can give me a call at 542-1848, 542-1848, area code 205, and give us some ideas that you want to talk about. I think special guests are always going to be big. You know, we had Aldo Greco on our television show this past week.
He was great, by the way.
I want to thank my good friend, and I say that with all genuinity. James Spann is going to join our show coming up here in a couple weeks. I know he's an incredibly busy man. A lot of people want James Spann to be on our show, and he just doesn't do shows. He doesn't have to do shows, but he's going to be on our Starting Lineup show coming up here in a couple weeks. We've reached out to the mayor. We've got Trent Dilfer. We got Andy Kennedy. We got different coaches that are going to be coming on. But something I thought would be really interesting too is I love when people write books. I'm not a big reader, and I know you are, but when someone's written a really interesting book about something, I think it's always a really interesting interview. I really get off on you know, and it could be anything from the microcosms in the universe or, the extinction of the possible bullnose flipper. I don't know what it is. But I mean, if it's a good book and it's written well and you're talking to a specialist in that area, I could listen to someone like that all day long.
Yeah, I actually did the book tour kind of thing.
Yeah, you locally did it.
When I wrote my book, What Does George Clooney Have That I Ain't Got? Yeah. Basically, that wasn't really the theme of the book. That was just the opening chapter. It's a long story. But I actually went to a Channel 6 as a guest with my book. They were kind enough to have me on and promote it. And the great Janet Hall interviewed me, who I guess Janet finally retired, yep, although she was still at the top of her game. But and I also, ironically, in the same studio that we shoot our current show, was a guest on the ABC 3340 morning show as well. And I don't remember the gentleman who interviewed me, but you know, we talked about local radio and it occurs to me, Tony, that, you know, these stations do have a big commitment to that because it's what they can sell and pretty much keep all the revenue. They don't have to share it with anybody, yes, but they have these 3 and 4 hour morning early marathon shows that I think they try to capture some of that we're talking about here, but everything's so rushed. You've got 4 or 5 minute segments before, you know, they got the next guy standing there who's got his, whatever nursery business where he's growing some kind of organic food or whatever. So whoever's on, they don't give the time to really develop a story. It's just rush, rush, rush.
Yep.
It's still too much teleprompter and not enough just genuine people. And I think that kind of programming is really lacking. And that's what podcasting has kind of given the market. But the other drawback on the local programming for them is they come on at 4 a.m. Who the hell's watching that? But I know you're up besides about us. That time. but I'm just telling you, that's programming that I will never, ever see, because if I'm up at 8, I feel like, you know, I need to go out and plow the back 40.
Yeah.
I don't understand why not more time is not dedicated, because there's so much news programming, and that's the same kind of thing. They can't give enough time on any subject in local programming. It's always rush, rush, rush to the next thing. And I don't think that's necessarily serving their needs well. And I think somebody needs to rethink that in the kind of the terms that we're talking about.
Well, I think sometimes, and I'm on Fox 6 at least twice a week on Mondays and Thursdays. I do something with Josh Claypool, and I do this thing on Mondays, a Music Monday with Tony's, and it's usually about 4 to 6 minutes long. If it's going well, we may go 8 minutes. And it really depends on what we're talking about and how interesting it is. And I think that TV is quickly moving. It's fast. Whereas I think radio and podcasting certainly is a little bit more laid back, but I totally agree with that. I do think there's that happy area there between, you know, a 4 or 5 minute clip, a really quick flip. And then, of course, you know, where you're talking and you're sitting down and you're kicking your shoes off and you're in a recliner for 45 minutes on network television. I don't think that works anymore. You know, you just said something, too, about local radio, which I think is amazing. You know, Rick and Bubba just announced last week they're hanging it up.
Yep.
And I'm really competitive. I've always been competitive. And so it didn't matter, you know, what your shift was or what radio station you were on. Hell, I was competitive with people that were on my own radio station. I was trying to beat everyone's ass. You know, I was doing afternoons.
Absolutely.
I wanted to have the best numbers on that radio station, because I knew if I had the best numbers, then I was going to get paid the most. And so I've always been competitive with Rick and Bubba. And I was doing afternoons and they were doing mornings. And one of the reasons that they got as big and as famous as they did was because radio saw the locality and the difference in what kind of radio show they could do. They're one of the last behemoths of, you know, getting a janitor and an engineer together, or some part-time radio guy who was talking to the overnight guy who was cleaning the hallways and said, you know, we should do a morning show, and someone gave them a shot. Now, that was 25, 30 years ago. And you just don't see that anymore. If they did, they'd be giving Kip Kiefer and Tony Curry a shot. Hell, we already got all the brand that you already need. People already know who we are. It's not like we'd have to break new ground here. We don't need billboards. Everyone already knows who we are. It makes me sad to see them go, because they did bring, coming out of Anniston Gadsden. Everyone knew they were a product of the state of Alabama, despite the fact they were in 17 or 18 different markets around the Southeast. Did they become a national fixture? No. I don't know if they even wanted to be a national fixture. And a lot of people said they couldn't, because, you know, it was Rick and Bubba. It was that, you want to talk about the back 40. It was that redneck type of radio. Well, you know, there's been plenty of redneck radio stations and morning shows that have done quite well.
Yes,
and Rick and Bubba were just one of those guys. So, you know, I do always think there's a great opportunity from a local standpoint. And I think that's important, because I was looking at the numbers on ABC 3340. Our numbers on ABC 3340 from 10:30 to 11 are better than College Game Days on ESPN's.
Well, that's, I mean, it, again, because we kind of bring that local flavor. And
we do.
You know, a point that just occurred to me, the first we have had Al Del Greco, your former radio partner, one of the from an accuracy standpoint, one of the best kickers in NFL history, come a product of Auburn. He's now head coach of the Samford golf team. The first week of the football season, our first show of the season, we had Al on, and we had the show organized in segments. We had Al on for a 6-minute segment, and I just felt like we never got really into the flow because that just wasn't enough time. This time, Tony, we had him on. We did a 10-minute segment to kick off the show with him the second time, and it felt like an adequate amount of time. Now, somebody out there listening might say, well, that's only a 4-minute difference. What difference does that make? Hmm. It makes a huge difference because you're not getting the alert in your ear 1 minute and you have to wrap it up when you're not even ready because you really haven't got into the substance of what you want to talk about. So, you know, I guess that there's a lot of different things to look at, but I don't like being on the clock with guests. Yeah. I like to let that wrap up on its own volition, and maybe that's something we can look at, but that's just a thought that occurred to me as you were talking there about, everything being on a time schedule. And that's, I don't think that necessarily serves information and entertainment very well.
No, there's nothing worse than having to end something that should not end. And there's nothing worse than having to prolong something that should have ended. I've been on both ends of that.
Yeah. Cause like you said, those guys the other day, just, razzing each other and BS and after the show was better than the content of the actual show.
It was fantastic. It was these 3 18-year-old kids talking about, I'm going to knock your nuts up against the table. You don't know what you're talking about, blah, 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 blah. And I'm going, and I was laughing and they were talking about eating bananas or something. I don't even know what they're talking about. It was hilarious. I'm thinking this is, and I was sitting there intently watching the show, finding myself a 57-year-old man watching these 3 18-year-old kids busting each other's nuts. I thought it was hilarious. It was great.
Well, it was access to a world that you're not privy to anymore.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's part of what, we do right here. When I started the show this morning, I said, let's just go. I was going to start when you hooked up to Zoom this morning. I wasn't even going to tell you that we were already recording because you and I talk for about 15, 20, 25 minutes before we start the show every week. And what do I always say? Hell, we should have just been recording that. We had a show right there. I can't tell you how many times, you and I will go out and have lunch or dinner or whatever. And we'll be sitting around. I'm like, man, if there was a tape recorder rolling right now, this would be fantastic radio. This would be great television. So yeah, content is in the eye of the beholder for sure. And it needs to be entertaining. But I mean, everyone will tell you that in this world of podcasting, you don't really want to go in with a firm idea of where you want to go with it. You want to have angles. You want to have ideas.
It needs to be impromptu.
It's not a monologue. It's a show.
I'll give you an example. When I was doing the ride home, our show, my show with Terry Quillian on Talk 99.5, we used to sit in the quote green room in Cumulus, which you know what I'm talking about. Uh-huh. It's this little room right down the hall from the studio with furniture from the 1940s and all this oddball. That's where all the people that have come in the station bringing all kinds of different books and memorabilia. And it's all like stuffed in a bookshelf, not exactly plush, but Terry and I would get there like an hour before we were going on the air. And we would kind of go over what we were going to do and everything else. And one day, the great Alan Johnson, AJ, our producer, came down and says, I can hear you guys down here doing basically your show before you do your show. Mm-hmm. And yeah, don't take this the wrong way, but I think what you do in here is better than what you do on the air. Yep. And it exactly makes the point that you're talking about, because more of that back and forth and impromptu and just being genuine and not being performers is probably a more effective way. And it's in a time where we've lost the art of actually talking to each other and communicating, in this new world of conveying information via texts and email and whatever else. I think people are reactive to just general, conversation that it's not scripted and not planned.
No, yeah. And most people that you'll talk to that are listening to podcasts, well, what do they talk about? And they don't know. And I got Michael Coleman, who's at the heart of the Alabama Food Bank. He listens to podcasts. I'm like, well, what's the show about? He's like, it's just three guys. And they just get on there and they start talking.
Yeah.
They just start talking.
That's what they do.
And they have guests that come in and they kind of, they tease them a little bit and they shoot them down and they just talk about whatever comes to mind. And he goes, I don't even think they sit down and discuss what they're going to talk about before they sit down and discuss it, which is pretty amazing stuff. All right. So, and I do want to ask you this. This is something that And you broached this a little bit, and I was really surprised. I was pleasantly surprised, but really surprised it was coming from you, that you wanted to get into relationships on one of our Kiefer and Curry shows. And I wasn't sure how that was going to go over with our listener base, because there isn't any listener show out there with two pasty white 50-year-old dudes talking about dating women.
Yesterday's news.
And I thought, this shit could be really funny. This could be really, really funny. This could be hilarious. Because I do consider ourselves, while we're somewhat conservative, I do consider ourselves liberal in areas and very progressive in our thought processes. And I think we could get after it. We certainly have a lot of stories we could share about some of our past experiences. And thank goodness those are past experiences.
Yeah,
exactly. we've been in the back of a couple limos. So we've got some good stories, but I do want to ask you this, as we wrap it up. And again, on Tony Curry Radio, is a podcast. We can go as long as we want. We can go 3 hours today if you want. I don't care, as long as it's good. What do you think people want to talk about when you're talking about relationships? I hear Delilah, you know, people writing those letters, and we can go all the way back to Dear Abby and Casey Kasem. You know, Casey Kasem used to always have the long distance dedication, and it's amazing because people just absolutely love that segment on that show. But when it comes to relationship news, I mean, it's like, and I know there's probably tons of relationship podcasts out there. Some of them are just way out there for me. I am a little bit more of a conservative kind of guy. I'm a Christian guy. I'll probably meet my next girl at church and not at a bar anymore, because I'm not my 30s. I'm not my 20s anymore. I'm not popping Xanax and looking for the chick at the end of the bar. But what are your thoughts on first of all, us talking about relationships? Do you think that's something people would want to talk about? Because I do. I think it's really, really hard. I thought after my divorce, and you've been divorced longer than I have, I thought after my divorce that I was going to find somebody pretty quick. The reason why I thought that was not because I'm a prize, not because I'm worthy of anything, but because I thought I had learned my lesson. The stupid things I'd done in my 20s and 30s, I know better not to do them again. I am smarter. I think I'm better, in a more peaceful place in my life. I think I'm probably easier to get along with in my life. I am more set in my ways, but I also think that I'm more spiritual, and I think that's an easier person to get along with. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, now I just need to find the right woman. They don't exist. They don't exist. Mm-hmm. I mean, unless you want to go to a dating platform, you want to go on 50plusmatch.com or something. Ugh. Good luck. And again, you know, I'm not being shallow here. We're visual animals, Kip. I got to find a woman that is pleasing to the eye. I know there's a lot of beautiful women out here with beautiful hearts, but I need to find a woman that I find incredibly attractive. I still have those feelings. And I need that dopamine pumped once in a while. And a lot of people, I was at a church social this past week. I was emceeing at Our Lady of the Valley Catholic Church. They were doing a fundraiser for the church, and everyone there knows I'm single now. And so people were trying to introduce me to some women at the social. I felt like I was in an Andy Griffith episode. It was really bizarre.
this is Thelma.
I'm not kidding you, man. And I was like, and God love him. I mean, I really appreciate the opportunity, but I would have never walked up to any of the women that I was introduced to at this thing. Not to say that none of them were attractive. It was just a very awkward, weird situation. It was Andy Griffith. Now that I think about it, it was Andy Griffith to a T. It was just very awkward. And it was like, well, I'll leave you two alone to speak a little bit. And I'm like, no, please don't leave us alone. Please.
For God's sake, don't do that.
We're Catholics. We drink and we're at a Catholic church. I don't need this right now. No, well, I'll leave you two alone just for a second. I said, I didn't ask for any alone time with this. But do you think that's something that would fly? Because I do think, you know, the Bachelorette, this golden Bachelorette thing seemed to really take off, and everyone's thought it was just a great idea. And I we're not that old, but I think we'd bring a lot to the table.
You know, it's a fascinating subject because I think everybody can identify. I find my friends that have been married for 40 years are more interested in my exploits and my disasters than people that are single. It's more of a fascination. So I think it's kind of across the board. People that are in our circumstance certainly would identify with our experiences. A lot of the book that I mentioned that I wrote are about my miscalculations and missteps and opportunities lost in the women that I've happened to have been in love with over the years. And I'm currently experiencing almost daily trauma in that pursuit now. Because, you know, Tony, I'm at a point in my life where, to me, the overwhelming attraction for me is intellectual. Dumb. It's spiritual. It's somebody that's I like strong, formidable, opinionated, knowledgeable, you know, women. That's what attracts me. And it's an arena that I have not fared very well in. Yep. You know, I always say I'm like the knight that fights through all of the adversity to get to the castle gates, but the gator filled moat and the drawbridge is always up. So I'm Don Quixote-ish at this stage, laying siege on several castles. I get far enough as the front door, but it doesn't seem like the drawbridge ever comes down. So it's a frustrating thing, because a lot of the women that I just described that are formidable and powerful and smart, they as accomplished as they are in their particular areas and pursuits, they still have this fantasy that they're a debutante, you know, being introduced at the ball, even at this stage of life where, you know, you should really be aspiring to someone who, you know, I don't want to steal the line from the movie, but someone who kind of completes you. Yeah. And I'm just going to be candid here. I feel there's a huge void in my life now that I can't make that happen in my life, because I think I'm missing out on something fantastic. Because I think at this stage, if you had somebody that was really in cahoots with you and your partner in crime, for lack of a better term, I just think it would be glorious with all the perspective that I have and you have and people are in our particular stage of life have. If you could find the right person, I can't imagine a more, you know, enjoyable, you know, pursuit every day than to have that kind of relationship, and not having it is just painful to me.
I feel it for you, and I feel it as a friend of yours and as a brother of yours, and even if I didn't know you, as a listener of yours, because I never thought in a million years, you know, having been married for almost 20 years, and I know you were married for a long period of time as well, I never thought to myself that I'd be lonely. Yeah. There's a big difference between being alone and being lonely. It's okay to be alone. You don't want to be lonely. And I never thought that I was going to be in a situation much like you. Now, you've been more single than I have been. I'm just starting to get back out, maybe. But I really never thought to myself, I for the first time in my life, I feel like I'm running out of time.
The clock's ticking, dude.
At 57, to be honest with you, at 57, they're not getting better looking. They're not, you know, I'm not shooting for 25, 30 year olds. And so, you know, and I don't mean this in a horrible way at all, ladies, because men are the same way. We're getting older looking too. I will say this. And the one thing that I do think we have an advantage here is whereas most 20 and 30 year old women who are independent, like you said, that get after it, they're not as forward thinking as the women now in their 50s and 60s. And what I mean by that is,
yes,
it's pretty amazing how, if you have a discussion with a 50 or 60 year old woman and it's the right time, it's the right night, right time of the night, they'll tell you what they want. And women haven't been like that in my entire life. I've never been with a woman where they'll sit down and within about 5 minutes of a conversation, this is what I'm looking for in a man. They'll lay it out for you right there on the table. I mean, I had a woman do it Saturday night. She's like, so you out there dating again? I'm like, no, not really. She goes, boy, you know, but you know, if you ever want to go out and have a cup of coffee, I would have never had a woman just ask me, you know, point blank, you want to go out and have a cup of coffee? She's like, yeah. Well, if you ever want to have a cup of coffee, I'd love to have a cup of coffee with you. I'm like, wow, are you asking me out? And she's like, I guess I am. And I was like, wow. And she's like, well, let me tell you what I'm into. You know, and she's like, it's important that my man goes to church and I know who you are and I know you're a family guy and blah, 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 blah. And you just never got that in your 20s and 30s. You weren't looking for that. It was too early. So yeah, I mean, the whole idea that we're running out of time, this is the first time in my life, that would probably be a really good show for us to get into. is what does it mean to you to run at a time? 70 used to be so flipping old, and now, of course, it's not old anymore. 70 is the new 60. Thank goodness for us, because we're going to get there someday.
It's within sight.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it is on the horizon, man. But you're right. You know, I really felt like 10 years ago I was going to be that guy at 67, retired, walking hand in hand with my wife down a beach, you know, down Orange Beach, watching my kids grow up and just walk off in the sunset. I knew that was going to happen. And my my entire everything that was normal in my life is abnormal now, and it's totally different than what it was. And all of a sudden, I'm thinking to myself, "Gee, am I going to be walking down that beach alone?" And that's heart wrenching. Sometimes I feel for you, man.
I'm coming to grips with thinking that's going to be the reality, because I am not a I feel like personally and professional, Tony, I have spent a lifetime building what I am today. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it's built. I'm an established commodity. I shouldn't be in a position where I have to prove myself. That's why I hate the whole online dating thing, because it starts off just being this kind of, let's see how many boxes you checked starting out.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm being interviewed and scrutinized, and I'm just at a point where I don't want to be rejected or passed over. And I'm not going to settle. I absolutely am not going I guess you'll do. That's not going to work. And because I've tried that a couple of times, I got off on that high on that exit, and it caused very stressful, painful, knowing right away that I'd made a mistake. And how do I get out of this? It was, I felt like Harry Houdini when they lowered him in chains in a safe, and he had to emerge within 3 minutes or he was going to be a goner.
I'm so glad you're saying that, because, you know, it's easier to settle when you're young in life, because you got the time to screw up. You got the time to screw up. You really do. And I'm so glad you said that, because, you know, we're actually talking about doing a show on this on Kiefer and Curry on the starting lineup about Facebook dating, you know, going back and going through that log of all the old girlfriends you had, the girls that you knew in high school, the girls you knew in college, the girls you ran into at the dance.
And they're all on my roster.
But they're all 20 to 30 years older. They all look 20 to 30 years older. They all have baggage too. They've all been through divorces. They've got children. They've got things going on in their life. But I mean, you remember that. So you start going through, it's like you're bringing your black book back up from the 1980s.
Yeah. But you know what's funny about that? The real all-stars, the ones you were really attracted to, mm-hmm. and several of those for me were the girls were slightly older that were the stars in high school that I couldn't possibly even say good morning to without bursting into flames, back in those days. To me, they're forever. That's when I picture, and I'll name her by name. When I picture Jennifer Harbin, who was the absolutely number one third, she was the secretariat of Peachtree High School. And, you know, now, cause she was 3 years or 4 years older. So she's getting up in years. But when I think of Jennifer Harbin, I don't think of today's Jennifer Harbin. It takes me right back to the 70s, and that's the Jennifer Harbin that still mm-hmm. is in my mind. And when I correspond with her now, it's thrilling.
Yeah.
We exchange a lot of correspondence and things, but they're forever in that place where you were completely mesmerized by them, for me anyway. And they'll be forever young, because that's who I still think of them as.
No, and as long as we don't take ourselves too seriously. And we realize, wow, you know, I've changed a lot over my 20 or 25 years, as much as they have too. The only thing I would say, and again, we could do a million shows on this, you know, if it didn't work out the first time, there's a reason for that. A lot of times when you go back to that well, you're like, what happened to us, man? Why could we not have made it? And chances are, when you start dating that person again, you will eventually come to the roots of, oh, that's what happened.
That's a great point.
That's that. Now I know why things didn't work out for us. We do change. I get that. But eventually those things start to crop back up, and we, our brains are pretty miraculous things. We want to remember the best parts of our life. Thank God. We want to remember the best parts of our life. Thank God. job. We do that. And so when we do have relationships and heartbreak, and all of a sudden you're running into that person, you're on a cruise down to Cabo San Lucas, you know, 37 years after you left your high school sweetheart, you run into her on the Lido deck and you're like, oh my gosh, is that you? And all of a sudden you start having this one Harry Met Sally moment or Sleepless in Seattle. And you think all of a sudden you're going to be walking off onto the sunset. There's a reason why it didn't work then. There's probably a reason why it could or could not work now. But no, as long as your heart's beating, man, you're still alive, baby. You're still kicking. You still have a shot.
I'll tell you one quick story. I know we need to wrap it up, but I was with two dear friends of mine this summer. We went down on a spring training baseball trip, went to Gulfstream, the horse track that I love in Miami, and went to the beach, just had a good time. It's one of my longest running. You've met him, Mark Random, mm-hmm. from Atlanta. His wife, Cindy, who actually he met at my wedding, was the cousin of my bride, Kathy, at the time. Cindy's a great girl. She's been the mother of two daughters. They've had a great life. We were laughing, riding in the car, and Mark said to me, because we're talking about the same subject, and Mark said, well, you know, you'd be surprised how many guys, you know, still kind of work Cindy on the side. They're just waiting for me to die. And I said, yeah, I can appreciate that. I'm one of them.
That is great. Great stuff.
You know, so I guess it's pretty pathetic that I'm at the point now, Tony, where I'm waiting to see who's not going to make it much longer. And maybe that's going to open up some new territory.
You may be very surprised by how many people.
That is a pretty sad statement, but that's kind of the reality.
You probably have a Kip Kiefer stalker out there you're not even aware of, because the ladies do love the radio, man. I'm here to tell you there's a reason why I've done radio for as long as I have. And now, of course, television. I mean, you got a chance to go out with a guy who's financially pretty fit. He's got a face for television. He's been around for a long period of time. He's got a good heart. He's a great father. There's Kip Kiefer. Boom. I mean, we could start. Maybe we should start a dating app for old radio disc jockeys. I don't know how many people. We could call it groupie.com. Groupie.com. If you ever dated or wanted to hang out with a radio guy, here's your chance to finally go out with that radio guy that was on at 3 o'clock.
And our theme song could be WOLD by Harry Chapin, which is a song about exactly what we're talking about.
There you go.
Remember, I don't know if you remember that song, but mm-hmm. at the end, he calls his ex-wife and says, maybe I could settle down if you take me back once more. And then the last lines are, okay, honey, I see. I guess he's better than me. Sure, old girl, I understand. You don't have to worry. I'm such a happy man.
There you go.
Is the end of that song. WOLD. I am the morning DJ at WOLD.
I had totally forgot about that song.
Yeah, so go back there and reprise that, because just said is the perfect theme song for that show.
I'm going to go listen to it. I'm going to do it. All right, so there's basically what you're going to hear and see on our television show, which you hear every week on the Kiefer and Curry show. And, of course, starting lineup. If you got any ideas you want us to I would love to get into, like, an idea of the week where we just put, like, a bunch of ideas in a hat. And let our listeners say, listen, I want you guys to talk about this week, or I want you to talk about prostate health, or whatever you guys want to get into. And just and all of a sudden, you know, we're forced for 20 minutes to talk about something. I think it'd be hilarious. I think it'd be great not to have any prep and say, okay, I want you guys to talk about pet care, or I just want you talking about health care, or talk about, you know, what's it like to have a teenage daughter these days, or whatever you want to get into. Lots of ways to go. Great stuff, my friend.
You're on the doorstep of that experience. I know.
I'm gonna need some help with that. By the way, we are on the doorsteps of Super Bowl 58. We're going to be on again coming up this Saturday morning, 10:30 to 11 o'clock on ABC 3340. Kip Kiefer and Tony Curry, the starting lineup. We're going to be getting off there. We're going to have a blast. Not only talking about Super Bowl 58, I've already got my pick for the weekend. I know Kip's going to have a play as well. We cooled off just a little bit, but had just a monster winning year. I think we were 20-10 overall on our 30 picks, and we did really, really well. So we're going to have that coming up here. And we'll also, of course, to continue to do the Kiefer Curry show. And also don't forget to Kip Kiefer's Need to Know show right here on the TKR. Until then, have yourself a wonderful and blessed week. And we thank you for listening and watching.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.